College English Test, Band 6, Part 3, Listening Comprehension.
Section A, Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now, let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11.
The dean just announced that Dr. Holden's going to take over as chairman of the history department.
I knew it all along. He's the obvious choice. All the other candidates are no match for him.
What does the woman mean?
Question 12.
Hey, let me know how your summer's going. I'll miss you guys while I'm here working in the library.
I'll be working too, but I'll send you an email or call you once in a while. When we all get back to school, we can have a party or something.
What do we learn about the 2 speakers?
Question 13.
The assignment on physics is a real challenge. I don't think I can finish it on time all by myself.
Why don't we join our efforts together? It may be easier then.
What does the woman suggest?
Question 14.
Jean really lost her temper in Dr. Brown's class this morning.
Oh, did she? But I think her frankness is really something to be appreciated.
What does the woman mean?
Question 15.
We heard that when you were a kid, you submitted a story to Reader's Digest.
Well, I don't remember the story exactly, but my idea of a great time then was a pad of lined paper and a new blue pen. I thought of myself as a Reader's Digest staff member at the age of 6.
What do we learn about the man from the conversation?
Question 16.
Your son certainly shows a lot of enthusiasm on the tennis court.
I only wish he'd show as much for his studies.
What does the woman imply about her son?
Question 17.
We're supposed to meet John here at the railway station.
That's like looking for a needle in a haystack.
What does the man imply?
Question 18.
Our school has just built some new apartments near campus, but a 1-bedroom rents for $500 a month.
That's a bit beyond the reach of most students.
What does the man mean?
Now you'll hear the two long conversations.
Conversation 1. So, you were up to some tennis this afternoon, or what?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm not feeling so hot today.
Come on, how long has it been since we played?
A couple of days.
A couple of days? Come on, it's been more than a couple of days.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's been almost a week.
It's been exactly a week. And we used to play at least 3 times this week.
I know. Playing right after class was something to look forward to.
Yeah, and it was right before dinner, so we built up our appetite.
I've just been very busy, I guess. And my stomach is bothering me today.
But you look okay to me.
Well, I was up late with Steve in the library working on a project. We got to do it by tomorrow. We've been working on it all weekend. And I was drinking a lot of coffee. I guess I just drank too much.
Listen, I took that class last semester, and I can meet you in the library later tonight and help you with it if you want. And then you have time to play tennis this afternoon.
Yeah, I guess my stomach doesn't hurt that bad, and I could certainly use your help. But it's also...
Is there something else bothering you?
Well, to be honest, I'm getting tired...
Okay, don't worry. You may take some time to rest. We will meet for tennis sometime later.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19.
What are the students mainly discussing?
Question 20.
What does the man think is the reason for his stomach?
Question 21.
What does the woman offer to do for the man?
Conversation 2. Hi, Kathy. I am here because I visited caves all over North America. Since you are going to study cave formations, Dr. Bo asked me to come share some of my experiences with you.
Hi, Bill. So wonderful. I can't wait to hear about it.
Recently, I visited La Chaguire Cave in New Mexico. My dream has always been to discover a new passageway. I had a chance there, because La Chaguire is so large that discoveries are frequently made there.
Was it newly discovered?
The cave was not even discovered until 1986. However, people in that area had figured that there must be a cave nearby because of the strong wind that blew from behind the huge rock that covered the entrance. Enormous amount of air enter and exit the cave in order to maintain balance of the pressure with the inside air.
You must have had to fight heavy wind when you were in the cave.
Exactly. I had to fight 45-mile-per-hour winds. After all that effort, I had to be extremely careful maintaining my energy level. People who are tired tend to be careless, and may be more concerned about getting out of the cave than taking care of it.
Anything interesting or thrilling in the cave?
There are formations in La Chaguire that look like ocean waves, Christmas trees, and other stuff no one has ever seen before.
Caves are normally created by carbonic acid, right?
But this cave sculpted out by very powerful sulfuric acid that swells up from below.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 22.
Why was the lecturer especially excited about visiting La Chaguire Cave?
Question 23.
What did the speaker say about the entrance into the cave?
Question 24.
What did the speaker say about the cavers who get tired?
Question 25.
What makes the formations of La Chagire so unusual?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices, marked A, B, C, and D. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. I had flown from San Francisco to Virginia to attend a conference on multiculturalism. Hundreds of educators from across the country were meeting to discuss the need for greater cultural diversity in the school curriculum. I took a taxi to my hotel. On the way, my driver and I chatted about the weather and the tourists. The driver was a white man in his 40s. "How long have you been in this country?" he asked. "All my life," I replied. "I was born in the United States." With a strong southern accent, he remarked, "I was wondering because your English is excellent." Then I explained, as I had done many times before, "My grandfather came here from China in the 1880s. My family has been here in America for over 100 years. He glanced at me in the mirror. Somehow, I did not look American to him. My appearance looked foreign. Questions like the one my taxi driver asked make me feel uncomfortable, but I can understand why he could not see me as an American. He had a narrow but widely shared sense of the past, a history that has viewed Americans as descendants of Europeans. Race has functioned as something necessary to the construction of American character and quality. In the creation of our national identity, American has been defined as white. But America has been racially diverse since our very beginning on the Virginia shore, where the first group of Englishmen and Africans arrived in the 17th century. And this reality is increasingly becoming visible everywhere.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26.
What was the theme of the conference the speaker was to attend?
Question 27.
Why did the taxi driver ask the speaker how long he had been in the US?
Question 28.
What message does the speaker wish to convey? Passage 2. Laws have been written to govern the use of the American national flag and to ensure a proper respect for the flag. Custom has also governed the common practice in regard to its use. All the armed services have precise regulations on how to display the national flag. This may vary somewhat from the general rules. The national flag should be raised and lowered by hand. Do not raise the flag while it is folded. Unfold the flag first, and then hoist it quickly to the top of the flagpole. Lower it slowly, and with dignity. Place no objects on or over the flag. Do not use the flag as part of a costume or athletic uniform. Do not print it upon cushions, handkerchiefs, paper napkins, or boxes. A federal law provides that a trademark cannot be registered if it comprises the flag, coat of arms, or badges of the United States. When the flag is used in unveiling a statue or monument, it should not serve as a covering of the object to be unveiled. If it is displayed on such occasions, do not allow the flag to fall to the ground, but let it be carried high up in the air to form a feature of the ceremony. Take every precaution to prevent the flag from becoming soiled. It should not be allowed to touch the ground or floor, nor to brush against objects.
Questions 29 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29.
How do Americans ensure proper respect for the national flag?
Question 30.
What is the regulation regarding the raising of the American national flag?
Question 31.
How should the American national flag be displayed at an unveiling ceremony?
Question 32.
What do we learn about the use of the American national flag? Passage 3. In some large American city schools, as many as 20 to 40% of the students are absent each day. There are two major reasons for such absences. One is sickness, and the other is truancy, that is, staying away from school without permission. Since school officials can't do much about illness, they are concentrating on reducing the number of truants. One of the most promising schemes is being tried in Florida. The pupils there with good attendance have been given free hamburgers, toys, and t-shirts. Classes are told that if they show improved rates of attendance, they can win additional gifts. At the same time, teachers are being encouraged to inspire their students to come to school regularly. When those teachers are successful, they are also rewarded. We've been punishing truants for years, but that hasn't brought them back to school, one school principal said. Now we are trying the positive approach. Not only do you learn by showing up every day, but you earn. In San Francisco, the Board of Education has had a somewhat similar idea. Schools that show a decrease in deliberate destruction of property can receive the amount of money that would have been spent on repairs and replacements. For example, $12,000 had been set aside for a school's property damages every year. since repair expenses of damaged property required only $4,000, the remaining $8,000 was turned over to the Student Activities Fund. Our democracy operates on hope and encouragement, said a school board member. Why not provide some positive goals for students and teachers to aim at?
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 33.
Which reason for students' absences is discussed in great detail?
Question 34.
Who will benefit from the scheme being tried in Florida?
Question 35.
What measure has been taken in San Francisco to reduce destruction of school property?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
Natural resources provide a living and shelter for hundreds of millions of people in the developing world. As those life-supporting natural resources come under threat, so does the personal security of millions who rely on them. Climate change, water shortage, and population growth are some of the most powerful and least understood environmental hazards. Using the subjects of water, climate, land, forests, and minerals, the exhibition demonstrates not only the ways in which environmental deterioration can lead to conflicts and new security threats, but also how environmental cooperation can contribute to security and stability. The exhibit, assembled by Adelphi Research, focuses on how man-made environmental changes affect both foreign and domestic policy. It draws a direct connection between natural resources, poverty, and stability in various parts of the world, Adelphi Research Director Alexander Karius explained. In addition, the exhibition displays the link between environmental and security in Central Asia, the area of the southern provinces of the former Soviet Union. The exhibition also shows that the sustainable use of natural resources across national borders can contribute to conflict prevention and confidence building. Speakers at the exhibition predict that climate change will alter our lives. Great climate pattern changes will alter available water resources, as well as the availability of usable agricultural land. A number of extreme weather events may render cities and tidal regions uninhabitable, resulting in mass migration. They believe that the traditional patterns of our lifestyle must change and that we have to accept that we live in a global village dependent on each other.
Now the passage will be read again.
Natural resources provide a living and shelter for hundreds of millions of people in the developing world. As those life-supporting natural resources come under threat, so does the personal security of millions who rely on them. Climate change, water shortage, and population growth are some of the most powerful and least understood environmental hazards. Using the subjects of water, climate, land, forests, and minerals, the exhibition demonstrates not only the ways in which environmental deterioration can lead to conflicts and new security threats, but also how environmental cooperation can contribute to security and stability. The exhibit, assembled by Adelphi Research, focuses on how man-made environmental changes affect both foreign and domestic policy. It draws a direct connection between natural resources, poverty, and stability in various parts of the world, Adelphi Research Director Alexander Karius explained. In addition, the exhibition displays the link between environmental and security in Central Asia, the area of the southern provinces of the former Soviet Union. The exhibition also shows that the sustainable use of natural resources across national borders can contribute to conflict prevention and confidence building. Speakers at the exhibition predict that climate change will alter our lives. Great climate pattern changes will alter available water resources, as well as the availability of usable agricultural land. A number of extreme weather events may render cities and tidal regions uninhabitable, resulting in mass migration. They believe that the traditional patterns of our lifestyle must change and that we have to accept that we live in a global village dependent on each other.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
Natural resources provide a living and shelter for hundreds of millions of people in the developing world. As those life-supporting natural resources come under threat, so does the personal security of millions who rely on them. Climate change, water shortage, and population growth are some of the most powerful and least understood environmental hazards. Using the subjects of water, climate, land, forests, and minerals, the exhibition demonstrates not only the ways in which environmental deterioration can lead to conflicts and new security threats, but also how environmental cooperation can contribute to security and stability. The exhibit, assembled by Adelphi Research, focuses on how man-made environmental changes affect both foreign and domestic policy. It draws a direct connection between natural resources, poverty and stability in various parts of the world, Adelphi Research Director Alexander Karius explained. In addition, the exhibition displays the link between environmental and security in Central Asia, the area of the southern provinces of the former Soviet Union. The exhibition also shows that the sustainable use of natural resources across national borders can contribute to conflict prevention and confidence building. Speakers at the exhibition predict that climate change will alter our lives. Great climate pattern changes will alter available water resources, as well as the availability of usable agricultural land. A number of extreme weather events may render cities and tidal regions uninhabitable, resulting in mass migration. They believe that the traditional patterns of our lifestyle must change and that we have to accept that we live in a global village dependent on each other.
This is the end of listening comprehension.